Redeeming sex in marriage on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. This week on the podcast, I have with me Dr. Scott Mell. Scott pastors Cornerstone Church of West L.A. He's the managing director of the Institute for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship, many know as one of the Alphabet Soups, IBCD, and he's a fellow with ACBC. He speaks and writes regularly on topics related to counseling and discipleship, and he's the author of Loving Messy People. And his newest book, which we're going to talk about today, is Redeeming Sex in Marriage. Scott, so grateful for you, brother, and looking forward to our conversation today on this new book that you released.
Man, I'm so thankful for you too, Dale. It's just an honor. It's always a blessing to get to connect.
Now, as I'm always curious to hear from an author, you know, what leads them to write the book? Obviously, you saw some sort of need or some sort of, you know, way that you needed to communicate more clearly in our culture. And writing on this topic of sex is a hard thing to do biblically in the climate that we live in. So I'm eager to hear what led you to write a book on this particular topic.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is a particular challenge in our context, in our cultural context. And, you know, like a lot of things, like a lot of projects, the Lord kind of directs and he demonstrates both need in the church, in the local church, in people's lives around us, and provides opportunity for that. And this came up because, to me, our world is so, I mean, confused is an understatement, right? Like it's completely lost its mind when it comes to anything related to sex and sexuality. And because of that, in the church, we spend so much time, I think, talking about what sex is not, that sometimes we don't actually take the time to fully develop. Why did God create this? Why did he create us sexual beings, right? I mean, if scripture is sufficient for all of life, I mean, one of the things that's interesting is I think that there's a temptation for us because the sexual has become so perverted in our world, even sometimes that in our context, that undercuts the sufficiency of scripture because we say, oh, wait, no, but it probably doesn't talk about that, right? But the thing is, I mean, from the first page to the last, sex is and sexuality are topics that we see throughout scripture in all sorts of different ways, both in the beauty of what God created it for, in the devastation of the fall in sexuality. And so, and the reason I wrote this was because I think most of us desperately need a deeper theology of sex and sexuality, particularly in marriage, when I think we're like, oh, okay, now I can stop thinking about it. Now I don't think about it anymore, but so PNR gave me the opportunity, and I was thankful to kind of take some of the things that we've been teaching here at Cornerstone for years and flesh them out even more fully.
I appreciate so much what you said, and we can even be tempted in this way as we try to respond to, as you said, whatever the next level is beyond confusion that we see happening with sexuality in our culture. You know, it's easy for us to even engage those arguments on those philosophical levels rather than recentering ourselves back to some theological reality, which is the basis for why we think those things are radically confused. And I think you've done that in this book. I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, what's the most central theological truth about physical intimacy in marriage that you are trying to help couples to grasp, because it is honestly that central theological concept that really gives grounding that we see and can see clearly all the confusion that's happening out there. So help us along with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, the main theological insight I hope people take away is really just the core message, which is that if marriage is about God, sex is about God. Right? And not in its actions, right? That's to take it too far. But all of life is about God, right? God created all of life to glorify himself, to reveal unique things and unique aspects of himself. And that is absolutely true with sex and sexuality. And it's what I call in the book the transcendent purpose of sex. In creating us as sexual beings, God really, he built into our very nature a vocabulary through which he communicates, as Piper puts it, the promises and pleasures of his love for us. And there's a number of other purposes of sex kind of that I talk about in the book, that it's a means of covenantal union, that it's a means of mutual pleasure, that it's an expression of marital love, even that and that sex can bring new life. But each of these purposes, they're aspects of a shadow that God has created to reveal unique aspects of what he's like and of the depth and beauty and really his glory. And again, I think that's what we should expect with a God who has imbued every aspect of life and humanity with deeper meaning. But when we don't think about it that way, when we don't think about it that seriously, I think when we don't even consider the depth of the things that God is communicating and revealing through sex, then it does, even in marriage, it ends up being thin. It ends up oftentimes just justifying selfishness and self-gratification instead of understanding its place in the larger purposes of God.
Man, well said, and I think that's protecting against the right thing, because we can Christianize or religionize our own self-pursuit, particularly in the bedroom. Now, I want to bring this. I think it's much easier now that you've centered us theologically to see very clearly for people in the church that the chaos that's happening in the culture. Let's bring this a little bit closer, okay? Because we have people who are listening. We have people who are listening who know other couples who are struggling in this particular area. They think like we do about marriage. They honor marriage. They love marriage. They believe the Lord created sexuality as something good. And couples still struggle with intimacy for all sorts of reasons. So how do you, in this book, you know, based on this theology that you're developing, how do you give hope to those sorts of disappointed or discouraged couples who aren't experiencing that level of expression in intimate sex?
As a fellow counselor, Dale, this is why it was so passionate for me to write this book, because I think the theology that I expound, it's not new. Right. I mean, it's not only ancient, but as you read the commentaries and the theological works, it's pretty consistent. However, I think that theology isn't always accessible kind of popularly in that sense. And it doesn't always connect all the dots between that deep and rich theology and the practical struggles that couples in our church, that I think most couples have, because we don't talk about it. And when you don't talk about it and the people next to you aren't talking about it, then you just assume that everybody else is fine and you're the only one struggling. So that means something's wrong with you. And, you know, I mean, just like lots of counseling issues, right? It just snowballs internally when we don't invite people in. And so that's why I spend the second half of the book just trying to connect the dots between that theology and the lived experience of couples and the real questions and struggles that we have. And I just, more than anything, I want couples to know that the struggles in their sex lives are not hopeless. And that's where, again, you know, in this milieu of literature out there in Christian books on the topic of sex, I think sometimes it seems to pay to be shocking. And so it's like, oh, you know, the Christian ways to like great sex and, you know, things like that. And I think people are just looking for like, well, wait, how do I help understand this? And how does that shape me so that I can experience what God has created for us? Because it feels like we're not experiencing that and we're struggling in one way or another. And it's in that context that I want people to know that struggle, it's not hopeless, right? Whatever's gone on in your past, even however long you've been married, right? Whatever your struggles, there's hope for your marriage and for your sex life. I think sex is such a uniquely powerful aspect of humanity that the fallenness in it, our sexual sin, our sexual brokenness, our sexual past, they affect us in uniquely intense ways. And one of the topics that struck me the most, actually, earlier just in doing this research, even wrote an article about it, was about how our God is a God of healing, and he brings healing in all of its facets. He heals our hearts by his comfort. He heals our sin by his forgiveness. He heals our unfaithfulness by his transformation. And he heals our future by his hope. And it's in that context that I want to convey to people that there's healing available in Christ for all the different things they're struggling with. And I also even talk about sometimes in marriage, maybe there are marriages that for one reason or another, maybe even a physical limitation, they're not able to have sex. And I talk about that. Well, what does healing internally look like? What does intimacy look like? And how do you navigate that? But our God is a God of hope. And again, because we don't sometimes talk about this area of life and relationships, I think sometimes we don't apply hope to it. And so we just kind of wallow in the hopelessness. And so I'm encouraged, want people to know there's hope.
Yeah, well said. And I think we can get the impression that we're the only people who have, you know, certain struggles that the other couples don't experience. And I'll add, you mentioned that our God is a God of hope and healing in these ways. He's also a God of patience, because, you know, it can be very important that we understand that you can sort of ebb and flow in and out of good intimacy and maybe not as close intimacy. And, you know, not to get discouraged about that, but this theological reality that you're painting, this beauty of a God of hope and patience, our relationships contribute to that level of ebb and flow in our intimate relationships. And so making sure we're staying on top of that as we grow in Christ, that does change the way that we see intimacy in the bedroom. And not to get discouraged when, man, I felt like we've had this at one point, man, we've lost it to some degree. You're giving a centerpiece that people can constantly return to and not get overwhelmed and discouraged that we can never have what we once had, you know, at some point in the past. So I really appreciate that perspective and the center point that you're helping us lean into that can address the variability of problems that we might see in relationship and in marriage specifically. Now, let's finish this way. And this always happens anytime you're researching. You've mentioned yourself, man, we've thought theologically about these things for, you know, quite some time historically. You've probably taught on these things in the past. But anytime you start taking a very deep look at the scriptures, what they describe, the unity of the scriptures and how they describe something like sexuality and the covenantal relationship in marriage. And then as you're assessing how those truths relate to the problems that people experience on a deeper level, we always learn something. So I want you to help us understand some of the things that you learned in the process of writing this book.
One of the things I was struck by was just how much of scripture touches on the sexual aspect of humanity. I mean, one of the things I did when just even beginning the process was I just did a Bible survey, like just literally flipped through every page of my Bible and was and looking for both references and teaching and guidelines. And I was kind of overwhelmed because it's everywhere in that sense. And as a pastor and a counselor, that to me was contrasted with how little people talk about it, even in their most trusted relationships in the church. I think married couples in our churches just desperately need to talk about sex. They need to talk about it with one another. I mean, it just starts there. Like even couples don't have deep, because there can be a lot of shame. There can be a lot of pain. There can be a lot of embarrassment. And so it starts with talking with one another and even just talking with trusted friends. And I'm just afraid that most couples really don't want to talk about sex. And part of it is that they don't know how to talk about it. They don't know who to talk about it with. And so, you know, when it comes up, it's either we either joke about it or just kind of speak flippantly or crassly about it. And in a weird way, in a predictable way, those jokes and those just slight comments actually reinforce the opposite of what's true oftentimes. And so even in our attempts to kind of deal with the awkwardness, we sometimes make it worse, not better. And so I think my heart has just been to invite people into a conversation. Obviously, just like any book or resource or any teaching, you know, there's no such thing as the final word. Only God gets the final word on it. And so but my heart has been, and even in conversation with people, has just been to invite people into that. And that's where one of the things I've learned how delicate and careful and patient we need to be in that invitation. You said it really well, Dale, that this requires a lot of patience as well, both with one another in the church and with one another in a relationship, in a marriage. Just because the first time trying to talk about it didn't go well doesn't mean we give up, because God has something more for us. But it's number one, it's not easy, an easy road necessarily to engage in, but it's beautiful and glorious. And it's just like every other area in life. It's one empowered by the Spirit that He wants to draw us in and reveal more to us.
Man, well said. And I so appreciate your work here and then sharing it with us through your new book, Redeeming Sex in Marriage. I do pray that you all will pick up a copy and share the insights that the Lord has given to Scott as he studied this and trying to encourage us in the church on how to stay centered on theological principles as we think about sex in marriage and the beauty of it, not be swept away by the cultural chaos that's happening. Brother, thank you for your labor and giving us some wisdom. The Lord has taught you through this.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. Now listen, I can't recommend this book by Scott Mell enough. I think it's just a brilliant way for us to think in a very positive direction about intimacy in marriage. And listen, I think this is a topic that's so needed right now because, you know, we've talked a lot at length on when marriages break down, particularly in relation to things like abuse. And so when we can find good biblical material on how we can think really well about marriage and intimacy, these are great resources. Now, as we think about that, we do have to acknowledge that not all marriages are good in the way that Scott described or striving toward this picture that Scott described in intimacy. And unfortunately, what we see in our broken world is abuses of all sorts and all kinds. And we tried to bring some clarity in the confusion. So I want to remind you about a resource that we've produced in the last couple of years that we've called Committed to Care. It's several documents that describe foundations as we think about abusive relationships, key tenets that we need to remember relative to biblical perspective on issues of abuse. And then we give a little bit of practicality in steps and stages, how to think through what we should be thinking through in terms of issues of abuse. I want to recommend that to you as our Committed to Care resource, and you can find that on our website at biblicalcounseling.com.